عظیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمدللہ رب العالمین وصلی اللہ علی سیدنا و نبینا ابی القاسم المصطفی محمد وعلی اہل بیتہ الاطیبین الانجبین بہم نتولی ومن اعدائہم نتبرأ الی اللہ اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توقا وتمتعه فيها طويلا Yesterday, a few phrases from Dua Iftitah were recited, wherein Imam at the end of that Dua says that Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema, that O God, we earnestly desire that in that rule of your wali, of your custodian, wherein you will grant fame and honor to Islam and Muslims, and wherein you will defame the kufr and the hypocrites, make us as such that we be the inviters and those who invite towards the right path, towards your obedience, وَالْقَادَةِ إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِكَ, and in your way, وَتَرْزُقُنَا بِهَا كَرَامَةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, and as a result of that fair rule of the custodian of yours, bless us with the karamat, the benevolence of this world and the next. We are living in the era of the ghaibat, or the major occultation of the Imam of our time. The Imam, he is not present before us. By being deprived of this presence of the Imam, do we ever feel upset? Are we disturbed? We have to ask this question to ourselves. Many a times we are unaware, we are ghafil of this concept that the Imam is not with us. There could be many reasons for that. Why are we unaware? Why are we ghafil? There are a few things. For example, our day-to-day needs, they are being fulfilled. The masail, the ahkam, the fiqh, the rituals, they are all available to us. We don't feel the need of the Imam for him to come. We have to ask these questions to ourselves, that why are we so ghafil? Why are we so unaware? It is said that on Fridays, because the day when Imam will appear, it's going to be a Friday. And on Friday afternoons, if you observe, sometimes you feel that you are so much disturbed and you are so much under tension. There isn't anything that has hurt you. There isn't anything from your day-to-day affairs that has caused that stress and tension, but still you are disturbed. Why is that? Ulama, they say that the reason for that distress, when you find no solution, is the distress we have, which is transferred to us from the Imam of our time. How is that? That another Friday came and the opportunity for him to move and arrive was not given to. For that reason, because he is disturbed, or in easier words, because the main server is disturbed, we are also disturbed, because we are all connected to him. Although we don't understand this reality and fact that we are related to him, we are connected to him, but the inner self of ours, it understands that. It does understand. And the reason for that distress, again, gets back to the Genesis. There is a report, an amazing, shocking report. It has been reported from various a'imma, from the 6th Imam, from the 12th Imam, and also others. They said, or sometimes when you see that when it is an occasion of Aza, for example, Muharram, or the day of Ashura, or if it's a happy occasion like the 15th of Shaban, without anyone saying anything to you, you feel happy, you are pleased. Why is that? Or if it is the day of Ashura, without anyone reciting a Marsiya, without anyone reciting a Noha, without the Maqtal or the member or the Majlis, you find yourself, you are so much under pressure and disturbed. Why is that? Sometimes you see that by just seeing a black banner, you burst into tears. Why? Imam says that Shi'atuna qad khuliqu min fadli tinatina wa ujinu binur al-wilaya. That our Shias, they have been made by the leftover clay with which Ma'sumeen were created, and that clay was mixed with the noor and light of wilaya. That is our origin. We have been made with the leftover clay with which Ma'sumeen were created. So if Imam is disturbed, we are disturbed. If he is happy, we are happy. Or it's the other way around. If our performance was good, he feels happy. If our performance was bad, he is upset. We have to ask, I have to ask myself, that are we a means of seeking his pleasure, or are we a means of making him happy, or he is upset by us? In either case, we have to be thankful to Allah that we have at least creation which is connected to the Imam. Not everyone has that. Not everyone is fortunate to be like that. So being deprived of the presence of the Imam, it is a bala. It is a big affliction. We have to understand that and we have to come to that point. In these phrases of dua iftitah, or even in the last few lines, there says that Allahumma inna nashku ilayka faqda nabiyyina. That, O God, we complain to you that the Prophet is not with us. We complain to you that the Imam is not with us. And it sincerely requires a complaint. It was mentioned the other day that the a'mal of an individual, they are presented before the Imam once in a week, twice a week, some reports say twice a day, once a day, or according to Quran and Riwayat, there is a live online connection at all times. Whatever happens here, he knows. It is present before him. If we are not a good practicing Muslim, do we doubt that Imam is not pleased with us? Definitely he is unhappy. He feels disturbed when he finds that all this division among his nation, all this wrongdoing, all these sins that are being committed by his nation, those who are connected to him, those who are related to him, and the least relationship is by that creation wherein we are created by the leftover clay with which they were created. So all these are questions we have to ask ourselves. Quran says that لَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. That it has been written in the book after the reminder that as for the land, it will be inherited by the righteous servants. The righteous servant is the Imam. He will inherit the land. And for him to inherit, as it was mentioned yesterday, those means have to be availed by us. We have to prepare those things for him to come. But many a times we find that we are always after excuses. Amir al-Mu'mineen in Nahj al-Balagha, he says that when I invite you people to a battle in summer, you say it's hot, let's wait until it's cold. And when it's the winter time, I invite you towards summer, you say it's cold now, let's wait till it's summer. So you're always after excuses. And then he says that Ashab Muawiyah, they were not like that. They were united, they were strong, although the aim, the ambition, and everything of theirs was wrong, but at least they were united, they were one. They were not after excuses. We want the Imam to come. We want the Imam to lead us. We want the Imam to guide us, to educate us. That is our wish, that is our desire, and that is something which we ask Allah morning and night. Or again, if you look into Dua Nudba, which is a beautiful report, Dua to be recited on Fridays, on the day of Eid, and on Eid al-Ghadir, in the last paragraphs of it, we say that Hal ilayka yabna Ahmad sabilun fatulqa, that yabna Ahmad, O son of Ahmad, is there a way so that we could meet you? Or elsewhere says that Hal yattasilu yawmuna minka bighadihi fanatqa, says, can that happen, that this day of ours today, will it merge to the morning wherein you arrive? All beautiful sayings of du'as taught to us, or will this separation between us, will that gap ever be bridged? We ask Allah for His arrival, for His reappearance. We pray. But we have to look into ourselves that how truthful we are with the claim. If by uttering the name of the Imam we are disturbed, or if a tear sheds from our eyes, there's nothing to be proud of. As it was mentioned the other day, that Iman, it is a blessing given to us from Allah like every other blessing, and it is not guaranteed to be with us. Wealth, we have it today, tomorrow a person will be bankrupt. Health, we have today, tomorrow a stroke and everything is gone. The same thing is with this Iman. We have to try and keep it, keep on polishing it day in, day out. And if someone does shed a tear when the name of the Imam is uttered, there's nothing to be proud of. Looking back into the nations of all our predecessors, for example, the nation of Musa. Prophet Musa was to arrive, was to be born. The time was a tense time. Ruler and the king, or someone who claimed to be the god, was Fir'aun. And everyone was under a tense situation. Mass massacre, people being killed, and all those atrocities being inflicted upon people, everyone was in tension and disturbed. The ulama of Bani Israel and the ulama of, they were told that Musa will be born, who will be a Messiah, who will save you all from these desperate situations which you are all facing. And the reports, they say that as the result of the dua of the ulama of Bani Israel and the pious people of that time, like we do the dua for Imam to appear, it was as a result of their dua, Prophet Musa's birth was hastened by 70 years. And then says that now this nation who longed, who prayed, who wished for the Messiah to come, what happened to them? Musa is born and he starts his mission, the same nation, he leads them, guides them. And then when they travel and they come to the seas and those miracles unfold, they cross the seas and they come to cross Egypt, come towards Palestine. And there Musa is invited from Allah for 30 days to Mount Tur, which was extended for another 10 days, and he was away from his nation for 40 days. His brother Harun was taking care of them. When he comes back, he sees that this nation has bowed down before a calf, end of a nation, and they can't say to Musa, Musa, we want a God who we can see. Now this cow, this golden calf, we can see. We bowed down into sajda before that cow. End of a nation who longed and prayed for Musa, and when he comes, that's how they turn back to their heels. The same thing with Prophet Isa. The same thing with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah, he starts his mission, he migrates to Medina. And there, those elderly in Medina who knew the prophet. Quran says ya'rifunahu kama ya'rifuna abna'ahum, that these people, they knew the prophet as they knew their own children. That is to say that as we know our children, what do they like, what do they dislike, what food, wear, clothing, games, friends, etc., etc. They were so close to the prophet that they knew the prophet as they knew their own children. And when Rasulullah comes to Medina, invites them, and when they find their interests and benefits are not being met, they decline the invitation of Rasulullah. End of a nation who invites, who was with him, but they turn back. The same thing in Karbala, the same thing. And the same thing is with reference to the 12th Imam. Reports are shocking. They say that when he comes, people, God forbid, would write to him that we don't need you. Now who are they? People just like you and me, who are longing, who are waiting, and who ask Allah for him to appear. So we have to try and do something, as it was mentioned yesterday, in this time and period of probation, that we have to educate and train ourselves so much that when he comes, it would be easier for him to, for us to accept his call and for accept his message. Certain things are to be done. We have to pray a lot, ask Allah a lot. In one of these du'as, which says that Allahumma arrifni nafsak, O God, make yourself known to me. Why? Says that if you don't make yourself known to me, it will be impossible for me to know your Rasul, your Prophet. And make your Prophet known to me, and if you don't do that, it will be impossible for me to know the Imam. And if I don't know who the Imam is, I will be misled, I will be astray. So God, all those channels, all those paths, make them known to me. So we have to work hard to seek the pleasure of Allah, to seek the pleasure of the Imam, so that that connection, that bond is created. We have to pray a lot for him. This question might come into your minds, that why do we need to pray? If he has been divinely appointed by Allah, with all those mights and powers, abilities and knowledge has been given to him, then why do we need to pray for him? Well, definitely our prayers would do no good. But the prayers that we do for him, it turns back to us. It's for our own spiritual uplift. It strengthens ourselves. When Prophet Ibrahim was thrown into that fire, a huge big fire was set ablaze, forests were cut down, and a big pit was prepared. And it says that for months and years, it was set ablaze for it to become hot and hot. And no one could go close to that pit. And because the punishment was so grave, the sin that was committed by Prophet Ibrahim was so grave, he stood against the God of that time, Namrud. Says that for that, the punishment also has to be severe. That pit was burnt, and then no one could go close to it. A swing, a minjaniq, was prepared wherein he was placed and thrown, flung into that fire. And then there was a hen that was seen by that fire, comes to the water in that little beak, takes a few drops and runs to the fire and puts that little drop into that fire. Jibreel descends and says that, what are you doing over here? The hen says that, I'm trying to put out that fire. Jibreel says, can you do that? Look at that massive fire and look at this tiny drop of water in your beak. Can you do it? She says that even if I couldn't do it, at least I've done something to save the Wali and the Prophet of Allah. Although we can't do it, but that is the least service. Our du'as also are like that. We've done something. And as a result of that, we strengthen our own selves. So du'as for the Imam, paying a small sadaqah for the Imam once a week, or whatever the ability is, that, oh God, I give this dollar away in the sake to seek your nearness, and with this $1, protect my Imam. Look after him for his welfare, for his safeguard. So all these things, little attachments that help in strengthening our iman and in polishing it. Yesterday, it was mentioned that pleasing a fellow brother, making him happy, it's among those great things which pleases Allah. إِدْخَالُ السُّرُورِ فِي قَلْبِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. And again, it was mentioned yesterday that Quran says, كَلَّا إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْأَبْرَارِ لَفِي عَلِّيِّينَ. And says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عَلِّيُّونَ. كِتَابَ الْأَبْرَارِ, أَبْرَارِ are the good, the pious. Says the book, that is the progress report of the Abrar, it's in the Aliyin. Aliyin, it's the highest levels of the paradise. And says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُّونَ. You do not know what Aliyun is. كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ. And what do you know what the highest Aliyin is? It is a written book. That is the progress report. يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. That those near Allah, when they look at this performance sheet or the progress report of you and me, they will be proud. They will boast that what a wonderful performance. And then says, Innal Abrar Lafi Naim. And for those good, which are Abrar, they will be in the highest and the lofty positions, blessed in the hereafter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he says, as it was mentioned the other day here, that we have to have an account of ourselves. Every morning we condition upon ourselves that we have a certain target that should be achieved, and at the end of the day we have to look into that, have we achieved or not, whatever the performance was. Says that when you get up in the morning, this tablet of yours or this title deed of yours, make it as such that it remains crystal clear, clean until the end of the day. Don't do a task, a thing which tarnishes it, which makes it dirty, which makes it ugly. And then they are the dignified, the distinguished angels, Kiram al-Katibin, the noble writers. They are there who constantly register and record the performance, the good and the bad of this individual. The moment a person becomes mukallaf, that is boys 15, girls 9, from that day these two angels are assigned to be with each person. They are there to record and to register the deeds of this individual. And then says that the day a person dies, that register is closed, it's sealed, and it is hung onto the neck of that person, which will remain with him until the day of judgment. Now this register closes, but for some people it doesn't close. It's like that capital investment which you invest and you get that interest every month, every week. If the investment was in a good place, you get that good. In either cases, whether it was an investment in a brewery or, for God forbid, in a gambling place or in a pub or club, you get that interest. Or if it was somewhere else, again, you get that interest. So this person who has died, if he has invested something in a good cause, the reward of that continues so long as that cause is there. And if he had invested his life in a way of haram, then so long as that haram exists, the adab of that also will be registered into the record of that person. And then says that these two angels that are there with the individual, they constantly record. If a person intends to do something good, it is written there and then, before he has done that good. And if he has done something wrong, a sin, says that these angels are instructed not to record and register for 6-7 hours. And again, a grace period is given to them. If within that 6-hour time or 7-hour time, this person repents of the wrong he has done, they are not allowed to write it down. And if he does not repent, again, and that is written, and later on he repents. Tawbah is the one of the beauties that we have. One of the great blessings is that a God who is all compassionate, who is all merciful, forgives no matter what sin a person may have committed during his lifetime. Says that if he repents, for example, after 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, says if he sincerely, truly repents, I will forgive him. But we believe, Quran says, that on the day of judgment, everything will bear a witness for you or against you. There is a witness. Now, if Allah forgives, those two angels will object and say that we had written something over there, although you have forgiven. For this person not to be defamed on the day of judgment, he says that I will erase that what was written. I will make those two angels forgetful that they ever recorded something, even in their backup memory. And then says that not even that, the place wherein that sin was committed, I will make that place forgetful. So that this mu'min, because mu'min, the honor which a mu'min possesses, it's a'zamu min al-Ka'ba. It's greater than the dignity which Allah has given to Ka'ba. Honor of just one mu'min. And we have no right to break and shatter this honor that has been given to us. For that reason, confession in Islam is haram. We have no right to go and tell someone what wrong we have done. Whatever wrong we have done, we have no right to say that to anyone. Not to an alim, not to your father, not to your mother, to no one. If you've done wrong, repent and say that to Allah. Confession, what we have in other religions, we don't have that in Islam. If someone does confess in front of another person, that confession itself, it's another sin in addition to the sin which he has done. Says that that tablet or that performance sheet or the files of an individual which open when a person is mukallaf, they close when a person dies. But for some, that remains open if the cause was good, if they had left behind a son, a daughter, a child who is good, who is pious. So long as he is there, the reward of those children will be recorded in the files of the parents. Or the parents, they've written a book or established a mosque or some good thing today. So long as that is there, the reward will be given to them. To parents, children are a great blessing. And again, the same thing to children, parents are even greater blessings. This blessing has to be thanked. In Karaj, about 50 years, 60 years ago, there used to live an Arif, a very pious person. During his lifetime, he had dug a well, and that well exists even today. And about 50, 60,000 people benefit from the water of that well even today. Another person sees him in his dreams and says that I saw him, and the place that is given to him in the paradise, it's huge, vast, never ending. And he says that, addressing to that Arif, that you've got a lofty position in the hereafter. What great place you have. And lucky you for all what you did in this dunya. And all that was given to him just for that one well which he dug in this dunya. And then in reply he says that he had no children. Says that I wish I had one child of mine. If he said La ilaha illallah just once, whatever is given to me today in the paradise, much more of that would have been given to me. Just for that one La ilaha illallah of that child of mine. So children, they are a great blessing. And the same thing, parents. Al-barakatu ma'al akabir. That barakah, favors, blessings, they are with the elders. And again, there was this young lad. Parents, mother is blind, father is old. But the beauty of this young lad is that every Thursday He travels from his hometown, wherever it was in Iraq, has a donkey, rides to pay a visit to the ziyarat of Sayyid al-Shuhada every Thursday. And because that animal which he possesses is just one and it can carry just one load. And he says that every alternate week I'll take, every week, for example, this Thursday I'll take my father, next Thursday I'll take my mother. So every week it was the turn of one of the parents to go with the son for the ziyarat of Sayyid al-Shuhada. So the father sits on the donkey, the son walks and takes him to the haram. The next week he walks, the mother is on the donkey. Now a week comes and then the mother says, take me to the ziyarat tonight. The son says, it's my father's turn this week, I can't take you. She says, you will regret, take me, because it might be too late. I may not survive, I may not live. This might be the last week of my life, take me this time. He didn't want his father to drop and he didn't want the mother not to come. He says, all right, I'll carry you and I'll take my father on the donkey, on the animal. And that morning, another person, he says that I saw in my dream that I've come to the shrine of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. I saw that Imam himself, he has come out of the shrine, and to someone, when he says salam himself, he replies back saying, salamun alaykum. He says, I was amazed upon this dream, that what is the interpretation of that? That Imam himself, he comes out of his shrine and says salam to someone who is by the door. He says, there should be a good news that I should be getting today. And in the evening when he comes to the ziyarat of Abu Abdullah, he says he sees what he saw in the dream. That Imam, he has come out of the shrine and he is sending his salutations to that person who is at the door. Runs to that person and says, what is this? Says, this is what had happened. As a result of that service which I did to my mother, carry her, bring her to the ziyarat of Abu Abdullah, I said salam to him, he himself, and it say he, then he says that for weeks and for a long time, every time when I come to the haram to pay my visit and ziyarat to the Imam, this is what happens every time. Imam himself, he responds to the salam of mine. As a result of that little service which he did to his mother. So parents, they've got great dignity, great honor, and as a result, children as well. So not every file closes. Not every file, may that be a good file or a bad file. For example, today when it's time for Maghrib prayers, example, you find that billions of people, they stand for prayers. So the reward of all those prayers that are offered is recorded in the files of Rasulullah, because it's his mission. Or until the day of judgment, every goodness that would take place, that would come across, that again will be registered in the files of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Why? Because faith, because religion, because goodness was on the brink of collapse. Abu Abdullah, he saved it. Kitabun marqum yashhaduhu al-muqarrabun. So that book, it is recorded, or the performance report, when it is seen by muqarrabun, like Amir al-Mu'mineen, like Sayyid al-Shuhada, like the pious, when they see this record of ours, they are pleased, they witness it. Or in our day-to-day language, we can call it as a database, this Kitabun Marqum. The caravan, it had returned from Mecca. Uzaifa bin Yamani, he with his niece, he comes to Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam and sees there is a file in Imam's hand, a book in Imam's hand, a register. And he says that, Imam, what's that? Imam says it is a sahifa. Sahifa means a file, a folder. And says, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, what is in that file? Can we see it? Imam says it's highly confidential and no one is allowed to see it. They say, we've seen it now. Can we just have a little glance of what is mentioned in that sahifa. Imam says, okay, in this sahifa, it's the database of all the Shias from the day one until the day of judgment. All of them have been recorded in this book. We know who is, who was Shia, who is now, and who will be until generations to come. This is something which we, if you recall your memories, in the wars, may that be in Karbala, or may that be during the battles fought by Amirul Mu'mineen, people, they used to come and object that, Imam, why didn't you kill that person? He was just under your sword. He says that there's a difference between me and you. You slice everyone who comes in front of you. But me, whoever comes in front of me, I scan him for generations to come, for 70 generations. I see if there's one mu'min who might come in his generation, I leave him behind. And then Imam over here says that that file, it is the sahifa wherein which is the database of all mu'mineen, of all the Shias who will come until the day of judgment. And then Uzayfa, he says that I cannot read, and he asks his nephew to read it and says that just see if our name is there in that register or not. They turn a few pages, they couldn't find, and then all of a sudden he says that yes, the name is here, and it's enlightened, it's all glowing with light. And then they are pleased, they are happy. And when they ask the Imam, he says that he is going to be one of the 72 who will be martyred in Karbala. So a file can be written with noor, and a file could be written with coal. Coal, it's all sins. Noor, it's all a good end. So Quran says, Kitabun Marqoon Yashhaduhul Muqarrabun. That database, that kitab, when it is seen by the A'imma, when it is seen by the Salihin, by the pious, by the good, they are pleased and they are proud of the performance of this individual. Now, when we say that these files are written with noor, Quran says that in Surah Al-Hadid, that يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. That there, on the day of judgment, in Qiyamah, for mu'mineen, for those who had sought their noor in this dunya, that noor will be a torch and will guide them in the hereafter, like a GPS, like a navigator. Turn right, turn left, and that is your destination. Says that noor has to be sought from this dunya. If someone does not possess that noor, and it is the day of judgment, that day of judgment, it's no place to get that system to navigate to the destination. That has to be sought in this dunya. Says that their light running before them, between their hands, onto their right, will guide them to their destination. And that noor would guide you. The file should be fawzun azim, a mighty achievement. Not that we say that I wish the file was not given to me, because some reports, they say that to those evil persons or to the sinners, when that file will be closed, sealed, and hung onto their necks, they say that it is as if a mountain hanging with all that weight from their necks. But for the good, for mu'mineen, noor, although it's weighty, although it possesses weight, it's like these chips we have. It might be 2 gig, it might be 1,000 gigs, it is weightless. It's like these digital things we have today. In addition to that, says that it doesn't hurt. Plus, if that necklace is hung into the neck of a bride, it is a means to be proud and to boast. Files of mu'mineen are like that. يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. That those muqarrabun, when they see it, they are at rest. They are proud. What we learn from the reports is that this audience here are definitely mu'mineen. The reason for that is there is a criteria set One of the criteria just recited over here, it goes back to Genesis, the creation, with that clay and with mixed with that noor of wilaya, that's one. In addition to that, whenever, now does everyone cry on Aba Abdullah al-Husayn? No. That beauty or that honor or that love has been given just to a few. Now that tear that has come and dropped from our eyes, will that go waste? Never. Never, it will never go waste. A tear as tiny as the wing of a fly, that is an asset that will witness for us in the hereafter. And these tears, Allama Tabatabai, one of the great ulama of our time, who has written this book, Tafsir al-Mizan, he says, one of the students say that I went in the morning, I saw him in the shrine of Masume Qum. He was alone. I went to him and said to him, Ustad, can you give me an advice? I am a student, something that I could remember at all times. He says that he closed his eyes for a while and then opened and then says that, now this great personality, he was all adab, all manners. And then says, will you allow me to tell you? Will you allow me to give you an advice? And then says, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That everyone is from Allah and to Him He will return. That is the only advice which He gives. One other student, he says that when I asked him, Allama Tabatwai, what made you this great alim, this great, how come you arrived at this great position today? And he says that when I was 13, 14, 15 years of age, someone told me, if you want to get to whatsoever you desire, two things you do. One, perform your nocturnal prayers, Salatul Layl, Namaz Shab. And the second, it's to cry upon Aba Abdullah and Hussein. If you do those two things, whatsoever you want, you will get. Imam, he is the mightiest and the strongest existence in this entire creation of Allah. No matter who wants whatever, the door is Hussein. Every door, no answer from any door, the open door is Hussein. There was a person, a very bad person who lived in Iraq, and he dies. The close members of his household, they say that we have to get this person buried in the shrine of Amirul Mu'mineen. And it so happens that Amirul Mu'mineen, that night, he comes in the dream of all those khuddam, the caretakers of his shrine, and says that such and such a body will be coming to my shrine tomorrow, don't let him in. He must not be buried in my haram. He must not be buried. And then all of them are amazed that this is what we saw. All of us saw the dream. Amirul Mu'mineen says that that body should not be laid to rest in this shrine of mine. And then they were waiting, and nobody comes that day. The next day, Amirul Mu'mineen comes in the dream of all of these persons and says that that body will come today, and I want you to welcome it in the best possible way and bury him in the best spot in my shrine. And when they ask, what was yesterday, what is today? He says that this body was due to come yesterday and it was delayed. They took him to Karbala. And when they were circling it around the shrine, around the zarih of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, a wind blew and then a tiny dust of the grave of Abu Abdullah, my son, fell onto the shroud of this person who has passed away. For that tiny dust, it has sought refuge in me, and I will not let that go. That is Abu Abdullah, strong, mighty. If we find no solution to anything, the door is Hussein. Or again, it's reported from Allama Ayatullah al-Uzma Burujardi. Among the greatest ulama of our time, passes away in the 1970s. He was the whole sole authority of the Shia world. All of the Shias were in his taqleed. And he was complaining of a severe eye ache for a long time. Finds no solution. The best of physicians from Tehran, they come, and he finds no cure. And then he says that it was the 9th of Muharram. And in Iran, on the 9th and on the 10th, they've got these daste groups, which come out in the streets. And it's on all 24 hours, on the 9th and on the 10th, these groups, they come out, and this azan is held in the streets. Ayatollah Abu Rujardi, he was standing in the lane, and he says that, I saw a boy about 10 years of age. And on the 9th and 10th in Iran, they wipe mud and clay onto their foreheads. He says that, I saw this boy crying for Abu Abdullah and Hussein like anything. And I said to myself, the reports that we have say that the turbat, the dust, the clay of the grave of Abu Abdullah and Hussein, it is shifa. Eating clay, it's haram. Exception is that clay of the grave of Abu Abdullah and Hussein. Says that if that could have that miraculous effect of shifa in it, this mud which is wiped onto the forehead of this 10-year-old boy who cries for Hussein so badly, that should be no less than that grave soil. Takes a bit of that, wipes it onto his eyes, and until he died, he never had that pain again. As a result of that connection to Wilayat, to Abu Abdullah and Hussein. So files, if they are weighty and mighty, because they are connected to Ahlul Bayt, they endure, they live, and as a result of that, says that يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, those who are near, they are proud of seeing those files. And those who are bad, when this file closes, sealed, and hung onto the neck, Quran says that وَكُلُّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ, that tablet will be hung onto their necks. And sometimes if it is full of sins, it is as heavy as a mountain, and if not, it's going to be a means. Salman, he comes to Rasulullah and says that, Rasulullah, I am disturbed, very much hurt, tensed. Can you do something for me? Rasulullah says that, Salman, go to the graveyard. Go to the graveyard, recite a Fatiha on the Mu'mineen over there. By the recitation of that Fatiha of yours, those who are in the graves, they will pray for you, and as a result of that, you will be eased. You will relax. He says, okay. And then he says that, Rasulullah, can I request something from you? He says, yes. Says, is it possible for me to talk to someone in the grave? Rasulullah says, all right, let's go together. They come to the graveyard. And he says that whichever grave you want, pick and choose, and you can talk to them. And he points out at a grave, and there he says that, tell me what happened the moment you died and what is happening now. And the person in that grave, he comes to speech and says that, recites this ayah that kullu insanin alzamnahu ta'iruhu fi unuqih, that every person who dies, that file is closed and sealed and hung on to their necks. Our performance was not like you, Salman and Abazar. We were wrong. And then says that, those who were good, the performance they had, it's all noor, the end they have, it's all noor, and it's all blessings and favors that will be given to them from Allah. It was said that in this ayah, kiramun katibin, this term kiram, which means benevolent, which means noble, it hasn't been repeated a lot in Quran. Very few instances are there where you find this term kiram that has been used. Once it's used in Karbala, that when That tragedy unfolds on the day of Ashura, and everyone from among the family members have perished. No soldier, no warrior, no friend, none from the Hashemites have remained. Imam, he is all alone. And Imam, he is pounded with all those spears, with all those daggers, attacked from all sides. Imam, he is dehydrated, exhausted, and he falls. The Mala'een, they are scared to come to Imam. And the reason for that is Imam, he was a fierce warrior. Whoever came in front of him wasn't safe. Shimr's army, they are scared to come closer to Imam. And then says that, I know how to see if Hussein is dead or alive. Shimr himself, he had a loud voice, a bad voice. And then he asks the page over there to make a page, to make an announcement. What is that announcement? Ambush, attack, loot and plunder. Who? The household of Abu Abdullah. And upon listening to that call of Shimr, Imam, he shakes. He gets up, but Hussein, he has no strength now to fight. He has no strength even to stand up. And there he addresses the shuhada who are all dead, sleeping over there, says that, قُومُوا عَنْ نَوْمَتِكُمْ أَيُّهَا الْكِرَامُ, that, O noble, O benevolent, get up from the sleep. But I know that you can't get up from the sleep, you're all. Get up to protect the household of Abu Abdullah. So again over there, Imam addresses those 71 as the kiram, as the noble, as the best. They are those yashhaduhu al-muqarrabun, that on the day of judgment, their files will be files which everyone will be proud of and will boast. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala help us understand these great ayat, sayings of ma'asumeen, and in these nights of forgiving, in these nights of maghfirah, in these nights of tawbah, give us an opportunity so that we come to ourselves, know our Imam, and remember him at all times. For all those who had sponsored the iftar of tonight, for all those related to them who have passed away, and all those related to us present in this majlis, may Allah forgive them and elevate their ranks. And if they are under pressure and distress in barzakh, now, O God, ease them. For all those who are ill and ailing, may Allah grant them shifa. For all those who are facing problems, by the barakat of these majalis, O God, ease whatever problem they are facing. O God, hasten the reappearance of our Imam, our Master, our Hujjah, and enlist us among the true supporters of the Imam. Our children, protect them from every evil, from every bala, from every affliction, and make them and keep them among the best Muslims who ever exist. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Amman yujibu al-muzdarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu su. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ لأرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات الفاتحة مع الصلوات.